But it is Friday evening, and on a Friday evening, we try and kick back a little bit because it is always such a difficult week. This was a particularly difficult week for us at 7:02, and so we thought, no, we must actually just let you have a breather in the last hour of the show today. And we've brought back a comedian friend of ours who actually has been with us before, Mo Jatlihoko. And, you know, he was busy with another show before, but he's returning to stage with something quite different this time. It's called The First Time. It's a venture into the world of storytelling, and it's taking place at the Market Theatre in the next few days, the 7th to the 9th. So, in fact, it's started already, and we are probably going to see a show this evening and a show tomorrow evening. So let's get the details now. Mojack is sitting in studio with me. Mojack, I see you looking around. You're looking decidedly suspicious. I don't know why, but you look as though you're hatching something.
I have a plan. I have a plan, Johan. Yes. I heard people are proposing a restaurant.
Yes, they
are. And everything's being paid for.
They are.
So I'm not saying that I'm staging something this weekend, but my partner and I will be at a restaurant. Yeah, they may or may not serve chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're hoping that these generous South Africans will be on board. And I'd like to thank the Springboks for giving us all this generosity. I feel like it's actually their national duty now to win every week. For this social cohesion. I think this is we can all rely on. Because if we are waiting for Bafana Bafana, it's going to be very tough. It's going to be very tough for all of us. So can we have the World Cup every 4 weeks instead of 4 years?
Shame. You don't think Bafana will draw some inspiration from the Springboks?
Shame. I mean, we're also rough on them. But I do support Bafana. I think they're going through some kind of a phase. I'm not sure what it is. I feel like a parent who's like, no, they're just going through something. In a few years' time, they'll figure
this
it out.
The child will pass eventually.
They'll develop and become an accountant or something incredible. And I'm hoping the same for our national team. But I fully support them regardless of where they are.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow, what just happened?
All right, so now I'm just thinking, you know, I feel very strong. I backed the netball team.
Yes.
Right?
They did great. They just won the World Championship.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, how amazing are they? And they've barely got any press over the last week as well. So I really feel I want to do a shout out to our netball team. They've really done us proud.
For sure.
We should. Those are really...
Have you ever played netball, Joanne?
No, I don't play any sport.
Nothing.
I played Trivial Pursuit.
I don't think that's in the Olympics, but
don't you think that that's a gap in the Olympics?
Yes, really? I'm going to propose it to the IOC. I've got them on speed dial.
Have you?
Yeah.
Brilliant. That's and Scrabble while you're at it. Please.
Oh, I'm very competitive.
Are you?
Yeah, oof. It's hectic at our house. My partner once came over for a family holiday. And she was playing on my father's side. And she's like, well, at least we had fun. And everyone was like, don't ever say that. In this house. And like, she was not ready for that vigor. And like, we just play with another level of intensity.
Yeah. That's wonderful. You would be more than welcome in my household.
Oh, thank you.
Because I tell you what, my father's got his own little trophy.
Okay.
That has to be presented to him when he wins the Scrabble game.
I'm on board with this idea. I feel like I've missed out on a lot of trophies. I'm actually very upset now that I didn't know this idea.
You see the pressure I grew up with as a child.
I can imagine. I'm sorry. Sorry.
It's okay. I can spell at least. but no, I'm so excited about your show because it's not just your usual comedies, your stand-up routine. You're telling a story.
Yes.
You're telling this narrative about your first time. What's your first time on stage, is it?
I mean, there's multiple stories. There was something exciting to me about, first of all, doing storytelling, but secondly, framing it around first-time experiences because those with a whole nother level of emotion. Sometimes you're fumbling your way through something. Sometimes there's a fear or a vulnerability rather that happens. Yeah. And so in the show, I talk about the first time I had a gun pulled on me, which actually is not as frightening as you may think. It happened in a rap battle. A really strange incident that happened to me. Or the first time I like fell in love and yesterday we had the wonderful Nicholas Goliath who spoke about the first time he kind of stood up for himself in school, and it was after kind of a playground fight, and so every person who joins me on the show, all the guests come from different backgrounds, have different narratives, and it's fascinating to hear what their first time experiences are like.
That's That is amazing. Yeah. I just love the idea of that. I feel like you could transport it to schools.
For sure.
And, you know, it's kind of say to kids, you know, share these experiences with us. It's a fascinating idea.
Most definitely. And we're hoping that as the show evolves, we start getting people who are outside from the world of entertainment to share their stories. I think it would be great to hear maybe like a cardiovascular surgeon tell us about their first surgery or an athlete competing at the highest level for the first time. I think those insights are great. And yesterday I had a debrief with my director, Jeff. He said even though stories may not resonate with people, they do, the emotion does.
So when
Nick told his story, it was more like you were experiencing the idea of public humiliation again and then standing up for yourself again. And I think although you may not know what's going on, there will be that kind of feeling throughout the show.
I think you should invite Bafana on to relate there. I mean, book them now. Probably 5 years' time.
That's too long.
And they can talk about their first
time. Then we're going to need a training camp. And then.
So you think, Bafana, in 5 years' time, I'm going to win?
Possibly.
Five years.
Make it a tentative booking.
I'm very hopeful. I'm willing to put lots of money on it because no matter what happens, I'm going to walk away with a huge amount. The odds are so not in my favor that if I win, I will never work another day in my life. So fingers crossed. I'm praying for Bafana.
I love this idea. I mean, does it leave you guys feeling a little bit vulnerable talking about the first time?
It's very frightening, I think, for a lot of stand-up comedians in particular, because we like going for the joke, for the gag. That's the big thing for us. And so in this format of show, a lot of it is just people listening and kind of nodding their heads and being in agreement. And you almost have to fight your first nature to go for the joke and just go into the story. And it is difficult. I mean, I don't know if I can tell. I'm not going to tell a story, but one of the stories I do tell is about the first time when I made my sexual debut, for lack of a better word. I know it's a family-friendly station, so I won't get into it. Yeah. But that experience is, you know, I've never told it to anyone. And being up there on stage and having people listen is really frightening. But there are certain moments where people are like, oh, I remember that, or that happened, or it was in this nature. So I think that's the big thing, is letting people know that they're not alone in their experiences. And then although we go through things at different times, there's definitely a commonality about our first time experiences.
I love the humanity of that.
Sure.
Because I think there are lots of people out there who are used to you guys being the funny guys.
Yes.
And I suppose that's also perhaps humor becomes a barrier, right, between you and your audiences, and now all of a sudden you're stripping it away and you're allowing people to see such a vulnerable side of yourself.
It's tough, and I don't think it's sustainable. I must be honest. I don't think I can do this for a long time. I like the barrier of the jokes, but I like to do it once in a while, and we're hoping it evolves and we start touring it in the next couple of months and have people from Cape Town or Durban join us on stage and tell their stories.
That's amazing. So that'll be quite interactive, I imagine.
Well, I mean, it's different to stand up in that. I mean, I don't talk to the audience as much in the show. I kind of let the people enjoy it and sit in the front row, and it's more people just listening to the stories, and sometimes we do Q&As at the end, and people can ask us questions about these experiences if they want to know something else in detail or what exactly we were going through at that particular point.
Sure. So this, I really do find this fascinating for all sorts of reasons. So people are allowed to then engage you about these experiences. Do they ever cross the line? Do they ask questions that are perhaps a little too personal or cover areas that you're not comfortable with exploring?
I think we've already kind of opened it up. So the line is not so obvious. And we're kind of open. The thing I love about people asking questions is that it generally sparks a thought or idea that I may not have had initially, or makes me realize something I didn't know I was feeling at the time. So I love interacting with audience members. It can get tricky where you're like, hey, look, man, we just met. Buy me a drink first and then we can talk about this. But we've learned to kind of balance that out.
I'd love to hear from audience members who've actually perhaps been in the audience, who've, you know, observed what's going on, participated, asked questions. Give us a call if you've been to any of these shows. This particular one is at the Market Theatre. It is called The First Time. Mojack Lehoko and a group of really special guests, Kagiso Lediga, Ebenezer Dibakwane, lots of people having done this in the past. And really, they're stripping it away, and they're talking about first-time experiences. If you were there, tell us what it was like for you. Were you comfortable enough to share your first experience or to ask some really daring questions about people's first time, whatever it is. Give us a call on that, 011-883-0702, as we continue our conversation with Mojack Lehoko. So I want to ask you this. Now, you are used to employing a certain number of techniques when you do your stand-up, right? And those work brilliantly for you. You're having to now delve into other areas. You're moving into narrative. You're stepping into theater.
Sure.
Right? I mean, what's that like for you?
It's a totally different space. I think stand-up, we've all kind of figured out. The first time we did the show, where I thought the jokes would be, no one laughed.
Wow.
So when I was like, ta-da, people were like, no, you're not finished. Please tell us more. And then when I was in the embarrassing parts, that's when they really kind of enjoyed themselves. And I had to kind of let go of expectation on my part and just tell the story as it is, as naturally as possible. Kind of speak my truth, which is different for me. But that was really exciting for me to grow a little bit also as an act.
So what has it taught you about the techniques associated with storytelling?
Structure is a big thing.
Yeah.
I think often some of us, when we talk, we just say things that are all over the place.
Yes.
You'll say, you know, there was this proposal, and then, you know, the thing about marriages. And then you're like, no, but Lobola, we must use another currency. Then we're like, what are you talking about? You've spoken for 5 minutes and we have no idea. So I think having a coherent narrative is the big thing.
Yes.
And also just being clear and painting vivid pictures. There's a book I read a while ago by, I think, E.B. Strunk and White, Elements of Style.
Yes.
And they talk about brevity and being concise. Keep it short.
Yeah,
don't use superfluous words.
Yes.
You see, as I said, that people are like, please, this is not this is not the time. We're trying to wind down from the week.
It's a Friday.
You know what I mean?
Okay, big. Don't use big words.
Big words. Keep it simple. Keep it very simple. And people like just listening to those stories.
You know, I love your thoughts about structure. Because structure for me is like this. This is what I discovered over the years from learning how to write.
Sure.
That often you've got the elements of a great story, but if you don't structure it well, it can turn out quite disastrously.
Yeah, it's difficult for people to follow. It's like every conversation can't be like a Quentin Tarantino movie where we're like, why is the end over here? Like, why? And because I think that's how some people communicate. And it's nice when you structure it in a way that we can follow. It's easy as possible. Think of conversations as telenovelas.
Yes.
Everything's clear. It's laid out. You can not watch a telenovela for 2 years, come back and be like, Queen is still working at New Horizons. I've not missed on anything. I'm very much on board. So just keep it simple. Keep it very simple.
Yeah. And I mean, are there any great storytellers that you've started, become more aware of or started listening to or watching since you've been doing this project?
I think for me, a lot of the storytellers I like are in the world of stand-up. And Dave Chappelle is one of those where I think he's got great narrative and great politics and the way he analyzes the politics of society. Sometimes he does have a few misses. His latest special was incredibly divisive. It was called Sticks and Stones, and it was about cancel culture and wokeness. So some people really thoroughly enjoyed it, where other people thought that the narrative was terrible or that it encouraged already bad behavior that was happening in society. So I love the way he tells stories from a stand-up perspective. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah. It's amazing. So you're drawing attention to the narratives in stand-up, and that's something we don't often actually think of as audiences, that you've structured this very carefully, and you're telling it to us in a particular way, because that's the structure of your narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's important for me. I think that's the bigger thing. The longer I do stand-up, it's less about jokes and like, what are you trying to say? Like, what are we leaving here with? And of course, I'm not trying to turn my stand-up into a TED talk and then we all get goodie bags at the end. It's still about the jokes, but it's great to have a nice underlying message or overarching message in those sets.
Are you exploring other emotions that you don't usually have to come to terms with in your stand-up sets?
I think I'm learning to communicate better. I think this is a thing like a lot of men have struggled with for a long time of just like, it's like, how do you feel? Good. And it's like, surely there's more happening over here. Are you anxious? Are you excited? Is there like a level of trepidation? Like, I think I'm learning to speak and be more vocal about how I feel, which is important to the people around us. Because I think often, like, we're all just guessing with each other. We're like, how's Sejo feeling? I mean, he's having chicken. He must be fantastic. What else could one want? Where there's a lot more going on and there's layer to nuance to everybody's experience. And I'm learning to try and be more expressive in that regard.
See, that also interests me because we are socialized that way. I think some people are taught, given the vocabulary of emotion, encouraged to communicate, and some people are not. And I think women are probably taught communication is important. I'm not sure if guys are taught that as often.
I don't think we are taught as often because I remember being a kid, like not like the idea of crying was like a no-no. So when I watched The Lion King and there's that scene where, you know, Simba's father's no more, I was like, be strong, bro. And I'm like, yo, man, you're seven. You're allowed to cry at this really tragic thing. And over the years, I've kind of allowed myself to be a little bit more emotional. There are times when I want to be a little bit stronger for other people, but there are also moments when it's okay to be emotional. And I think that's the one thing I'm learning growing older, that you don't have to be hard all the time. It's not your responsibility. Like, you can have your moments of weakness and that's fine also. Like, no one's judging you. Just be yourself. Feel what you're feeling. I feel like a therapist. I don't know what this is turning into.
No, you are a therapist and I'm milking it for all I can because I'm not paying for this.
That's what you think. There will be an invoice. As soon as my accountant hears this, you'll expect an invoice. Yeah. So I just want everyone to be a little bit more expressive and do it in their own way. I don't want to tell people how to feel or how to express themselves.
All right. Yeah. A quick one, Mojack. Where can our listeners see the show?
The show is at the Market Theatre. It's at Kipies. Tickets are available on web tickets. It started running yesterday, the 7th. It's on tonight, the 8th and the 9th. We've got special guests for tonight. The three special guests are the wonderful Tatsun Konzo, Tracy Lee Oliver, and Kate Goliath of Goliath and Goliath fame. And of course, tomorrow we've got Robbie Collins, Lifem Simang, and the wonderful Nina Hasty. You may know her from Trending SA.
Oh, of course. And she was with Eusebius, in fact, either this morning or yesterday, I think. So the show does start at 8:15 this evening. Tickets are from 90 Rand. They're available through web tickets online. And the show does carry a PG-13 age restriction. Parking available at Newtown Mall at 10 Rand an hour. You can go to
mojackyhooker.com. I'm here for you, Joanne.
Why does this word look so difficult?
It's because it's one word. The internet is not helpful in that regard.
Completely unhelpful. But you are. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. I always love being here. I must say, if I'm here one more time, my accountant will really be in touch. They'll be like, are you employed now by Prime Media? What's going on? But I love being here. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming in, Mojack. All the best with the show.